for a big welcome. Come on, you can do better than that.
Wow. After the worship service, I was like, all right, the Holy Spirit's here. And then that, I'm like, wow, this is. Thank you for having me. I feel so honored that Pastor Marty would have me here sharing his pulpit with him. So I just want to open up by sharing a little bit. January's messages have really been, the series has been new, and you've been hearing a lot of messages that are encouraging you to step out of your comfort zone and to try something new in 2018. And when I was asked to speak on a Thursday night again, I got really excited about the opportunity to step out of my comfort zone and to be able to come up here to share with all of you. And I am completely out of my comfort zone. I feel very vulnerable when I end up sitting or standing in front of people and speaking about something that I wrote. And I just prayed to the Lord, and I always ask him to just speak through me and let it be his words that come through and not my own. And so with that said, I just want to pray, open in prayer. Father God, I just thank you so much for this night, Lord. I just pray that as I bring forth the message that you gave me, Father God, that you would just speak through me, that these words would be yours, and that you would just open the hearts of everybody that's here to hear what you have for them. In your name I pray, amen. So, stepping out of the comfort zone, your comfort zone, is something that I struggled with for many, many years. I felt like over the years that I had been put in a box. Not by anybody in particular, but pretty much myself. Just by words and things that were said to me and spoken to me, I ended up putting myself in a box. And I wouldn't step outside of the parameters of the box that I put myself in, because I convinced myself that what I was hearing and what I believed other people were saying to me was true. And so I would allow myself to go a little bit, and then I'd pull myself back in because I was really comfortable inside of that box. And it took me a really long time to be able to get to the point of where I am now, to be able to step out and do this without running away or throwing up or anything like that. I haven't done that yet. So stepping out of the box, speaking, Ryan also pestered me constantly to step out of the box to sing on the worship team. And either he's going to end up throwing me off, or they're going to turn the mic off when I'm up there, because that is going to be completely out of my comfort zone too. But he's convinced I can sing, so we'll see about that. Okay. So God has taught me a few things as I was going through that journey of trying to do new things and step out and trust in him to take me where I know he wants me to go. And it's not like a big jump. When God calls you to do something or he places something in front of you, you might not necessarily feel that that's what you're supposed to be doing. You may not necessarily feel like, oh, I'm not any good at that. That's not something that I could even see myself doing, or I've never done anything like that before, so I'll just wait for something else to come along in order for me to do that. But that's not the way God works. God works through obedience. And if he places something in front of you, even though you may not say, you know, this is an opportunity to work for the Lord, it may not be something that I would ever see myself doing, but I'm going to take that step. Because when I take that step, then God's going to place another step in front of you. And then you're going to take that step. And then he's going to take another one. And God has got absolutely amazing things for us in front of us. And if we just step out in obedience and follow what he puts places before us, we're going to see, and he's going to take us to places that we could never even have imagined us going in. So God had taught me a few things along the journey. And the first one was that God doesn't use perfect people. There are no perfect people. There are only people who want other people to see them as perfect people. And I was one of those people because I was in that box. I created my persona to be exactly what I wanted everybody to see. When I was younger, I was a rebellious child. We'll just put it that way. I made a lot of decisions. I had really bad choices. And as I grew up and became more mature, I got married, I had children, I started going back to church, and I was a completely different person. When it came time for someone along the way to say, hey, would you share your testimony? Sure, I'll share my testimony about something that happened last year, or I'll share about something that happened 2 years ago, but I'm not going to go back any further, because if I share that stuff, then those people are going to look at me, and it's not going to be who I am. It's going to be somebody different. And that's not what God wanted for me. God wanted me to share what really happened in my life, because that is what people would identify with. That is what people would see, that God took the pieces of Cheryl that were broken and scattered around, and he put them back together. And those pieces and the cracks that were caused by those pieces is what God wanted other people to see in me, not perfectness. So God was looking, he's not looking for people that have it all together. He's not, because if somebody feels like they have it all together, then they're not willing to give up what they need to give up in order to be used by God. And that's where I was at. I was not willing to give up what other people saw in me so that God can use me and take me further, because if I wasn't willing to give it up, then I wasn't willing to take that step, and I was never going to go any further in God than what I am or where I was. So the first verse I want to share with you is Matthew 10, 17 to 22, and then I have to put my specs on because my Bible print's really tiny. So Mark 10, 17. Oh, yay, it's up there. Sorry. Okay. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. That's my favorite part. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Here, Jesus was asking this man to give something up that was his treasure. It was something that was so important to him that it made him very sad to learn that in order for him to have eternal life, he would have to give it up. God wants us to be willing to sacrifice the very thing that we're holding on the tightest to. And if we're not willing to give that up, then we're not going to be able to go to a deeper level with him. When I stay in my comfort zone, nobody sees my faults. I'm in control of what other people see. And the problem with that is that on the inside of me, nothing is changing. Everything is staying the same as long as I stay where I was. The rich man appeared to everyone that he had it all together. And if he would just trust God, sell his belongings, give them to the poor, give all the money to the poor, then he would have seen what great plans God had in store for him. And I don't know, maybe he did this. The Bible doesn't go on from there to say how the man responded. But if he did, then he would have seen what God had in store for him. Jeremiah 29:11 says, For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. I have lived by that verse for many, many years. I have it on my mirror. My sister-in-law, Debbie, gave me a card with a special note. I still have it, Deb. I don't know how many years ago you gave me that. I look at it every morning because I think that we need to see God's word. I think we need to see God's promises before us every day so that we can remind ourselves daily with the world that we live in what God has in store for us. His plans for us are so much more than we could ever imagine them being. He has just good. The song had, what was the line you kept repeating, Ryan? About God having good stuff for us? Yes, the Lord has promised good to me. And as we were singing it tonight, I was like, you know, it's true, but it's so true. If we could just see beyond our human imaginations, if we could just see what God has for us, we'd all be totally jumping out of the box with no hesitation whatsoever. But we can't see that, so we're kind of blinded, and we're forced to trust God to take those steps. But we're so scared to take those steps because we don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want to have to be put in a situation to where we're judged. So, yeah, God uses imperfect people if we allow him to. He takes our imperfection and uses them to show others what he can do in them if they would let him. But if we're hiding behind a perfect exterior, then we aren't allowing God to use us. God's desire is for us to recognize within ourselves our own inabilities so that we would then let him take them. And that would give us a humble spirit. And that's what God is looking for in us. We need to let others see our imperfections. And that was something that I really struggled with. Because if people saw and heard and knew all that I did, felt, and thought, then they wouldn't look at me as the same person. And that scared me. It scared me because then you are faced with, and I think it's the enemy that just keeps coming in and says, they can't know this about you because if they do, they won't like you anymore. If they do, they won't want to be around you anymore and you'll be alone. He wants to keep us all by ourselves. But God can't shine through unbroken vessels. So picture a broken vase that was glued back together so perfectly that you could barely see the cracks of where it was fit back together. Then picture a vase that was broken and put back together, but yet not so carefully, and put a light in each one of those vases. Which one will the light shine through brighter? Certainly not the one that was put together so perfectly that you couldn't even tell it was broken. Christ wants his light to shine through us. And if we are so worried about protecting ourselves and covering up all of our imperfections so that nobody can tell that we were ever broken, that keeps God from shining through us. We need to let people see us when we are broken and be willing to share it with others, because that is the most powerful testimony that you will ever have. When you're being real and transparent, everybody's broken. Everybody has experienced brokenness in their lives, and they need to see that someone who is following God after their own heart, they need to see that you were once broken too. And they need to see that God picked up the pieces of your life and put them back together. And that is why you are where you are now. But if you're not willing to show that to them, then they're never going to experience that. Or they're not going to see that it's real. We need to allow God to use our brokenness because it's not only good for other people, it's also good for us because it increases our faith. As a result, we learn to lean on him even more. It causes us to be bolder. We learn to trust him. It helps us heal. Because I don't know about you guys, but whenever I share my brokenness or I become transparent or real with someone, as I am going through that process with another person and trying to help them to understand what God can do in their lives, God starts revealing things in my own life. And he starts showing me, oh, wait a minute, he did help me there. He did help me there. So along with his power going out and through us helping that person, he's helping us too. And we're growing. It teaches us how to minister, because the more that you open up, the easier it becomes. And it brings us fulfillment that it is accompanied by unexplainable joy, because we are fulfilling our purpose. I don't know how many of you have ever had the opportunity to experience the fullness of joy that comes from fulfilling a purpose that God has put in front of you. But I can stand here and tell you that it has been the most peaceful, calm, content time in my life when that has happened. And I strive all the time to get that feeling back again. And it's possible. The last thing that God showed me is that he qualifies the unqualified. There are so many examples in the Bible of those who are not qualified to do the job that God was calling them to do. And let's see how God helped them. God covers our weaknesses. So let's talk about Moses. For those of you who do not know Moses or know about Moses, I'm just going to do a quick rundown. So Moses was a baby in Egypt, and he lived with his family, who were Hebrew, the Israelites, who were in slavery under the Egyptians. And Pharaoh didn't want any more baby boys born because the Hebrew population was growing so large, he was fearing that they were going to grow too numerous and too strong and take over Egypt. So he ordered that all of the baby boys be killed that were under age 2. Moses' mom put him in a basket, floated him down the river. Pharaoh's daughter found him, raised him as her own. Moses sees an Egyptian soldier treating a Hebrew man badly. He kills him, flees to the desert, spends about 40 years in the desert, and then God comes to him and says, hey, Moses, I want you to do something for me. Moses says, what? Me? No way. You want me to go back to Egypt? They're not even going to believe that you sent me. He says, well, I'll give you all of these things to do. You show them that, and it'll prove that I sent you. He says, but I don't speak well. And God tells him, I'll tell you what to say, and I'll teach you what to do. Moses got a little nervous still and said, I don't think I can do it. So his brother Aaron, God brings his brother Aaron in and says, he'll work with you. And so in Exodus 4:15, God tells him a second time. He says, you shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. He's talking about Aaron here. So he's saying that Aaron's going to speak for Moses, who God is speaking through. So you shall speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. God prepares us. He doesn't ask us to go and do something, and he's not willing to then equip us to do it. Let's talk about Esther. She was a queen, and her people, the Jews and her family, were in danger of being killed. And her uncle Mordecai comes to her and asks her to please go before the king and ask him to save her people. And she knows that if she takes a step to go before the king without being summoned, that he could choose to kill her. But she takes courage, and she does it anyways, and she ends up saving her people. God gives us courage. He gives us boldness. The person I identified the most with was Paul in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and in fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. I identify with him because whenever I'm asked to speak on a Thursday, I go through this whole process of anxiety. I know that I'm going to go through the process. When I say yes, I instantly regret it. I refuse to back down, though, and I refuse to call Pastor and tell him I'm not going to do it because he wouldn't let me back down anyways. I have to depend on God when I come up here, because if I don't and I try to do it in my flesh, it's not going to work out anyway. So that's a good thing. But I identify with Paul because he's got it right there. It's not anything that he can do. There's nothing that you can do. You're not going to convince anybody that God is real. You're not going to try to persuade people that God is real. That's the Holy Spirit's job. It's just your job to be obedient. And when you're obedient, the Holy Spirit then works through you. And the Holy Spirit is the one that does the convincing. Pastor had mentioned in one of his messages, I don't remember the gentleman's name, but you talked about a guy during the Great Awakening who got up and just read the Bible and the revival broke out. Do you remember that? That stuck with me. When I was struggling with, being able to get up here and write a message and speak to you guys and have it be what God wants you guys to hear, there's a lot of pressure there. He does it every, I don't know how he does it every week, but there's a lot of pressure there. But it really spoke to me because it wasn't anything, there's nothing that I can do to make this message be something that speaks to your heart. It's got to be the Holy Spirit. And it's proof. That guy, I don't know his name, but he got up and all he did was read the Bible and revival broke out. Look at Saul. God didn't need anybody there. It was just his Holy Spirit. He uses us because in using us, we grow. We become stronger in our faith. And we're blessed by being used by him. When Pastor Marty asked me how I'm doing before I speak, usually I tell him I'm going to throw up. And he tells me, that's good. I wouldn't have it any other way. And I asked him tonight, what would you say to me if I told you this? And it got a little confusing, but then he said, that's good. He wouldn't have it in any other way because he knows that if I'm coming up here in my own power, that it's not what he wants. It's what I'm coming up here in God's power. And I'm sure that as you go through 2018, you are going to come across a lot of reasons and a lot of excuses for why you shouldn't step out of your comfort zone. And I want to challenge you to ignore them all. I'm going to challenge you to just say no, because the blessings that follow the obedience of taking the step are so well worth it. You don't have to take steps in big areas. When I first started working in ministry, I started in the nursery, and then I worked my way up to children's ministry, and I just did different things. And as I did those things, I got to one area, and I thought, this is where God has me. This is what he wants for me. But if I hadn't taken all of those small steps, I never would have gotten there to that one particular place. So even though you may say that's not for you, if God places it in front of you, do it. Do it. And every time God places something in front of me, I told him that I was going to take it. I'm going to take that step regardless of what it is, because I want what he has for me. I want the ultimate that he has for me. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you so much for your word, Lord. I thank you that you would use me again, Lord, to speak to your people. And I just pray that as they go through their week, Lord, and as they go through the year, Father, as they come across opportunities, they would just remember to take that step, Lord, that you would, they would just remember that you will be with them, and that even though they may not notice right away, they step out in obedience. And through that obedience, that's when you come through. I just pray that that would be so real to them, Father God. And I thank you and praise you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Come on. Well, I just want to tell you that you're going to have more times where you're going to be out of your comfort zone. I actually felt like the Lord just prompted me about something about that's going to take place in your life this year. I'm not going to drop it on you now, but we always get tested on what we speak on. So the Lord's going to, he's going to do this with you. One more level. Family, get ready. Does the family, are you all in on that? Come on, if you are, come on, stand up and say, come on, mama, go for it. Come on, do that. Come on, come on, come on. Yep, so she's going, and you're going another level this year. He's going to pull you out of that even more, and that's what God does. When you say things like, when he opens up the door, I'm not going to say no. Woo, baby, get ready. How many of you believe that for Cheryl tonight? Come on. How many of you believe that? Come on down. Stand. Todd, come up. Stand next to your wife. The Lord will never do anything in one of you unless he does it in both of you. So I want 5, 8 people just to come on up here. Put your hands on them. We're going to pray over them. We're going to believe God for something great in this family, in their lives in 2018. Father, in the name of Jesus, we believe you, Lord. We thank you for the word of God that you have deposited in an imperfect vessel. Lord, that you, even in the moments of her most, in the poorest decisions, the greatest folly of her life, you said, there is a vessel that I'm going to use. So, Lord, I pray tonight that the half has not been told what God will do with you and with your family. And I pray, Lord, as you take her into areas and even into regions that she knows not of, that you will open the door and that you will make a way and that your hedge of protection would be upon them all the days of their life, Lord. I thank you for this family. I pray your blessing over them and favor, not only as husband and wife, but as their children, God, the circle of friends that they love and the ones that mean the most to them, Lord. May your hand be upon them and use them in this life, in this home, in this family. Thank you, Lord, for the obedience of your servant tonight to be vulnerable and to be used greatly of you in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, and everybody said amen. Okay, one more thing before they leave. If you need prayer before you leave tonight, I want you to come down right now. Let this beautiful couple pray over you and believe God for your future and your destiny. Go in God's grace tonight. If you need prayer, don't leave until you come down and let them pray for you. Yeah, at minimum, come down, tell them, man, we really love you and we thank God for you. I love you. Go in his grace tonight.